afternoon. She'll go at tone. Hello. You're the first one to arrive, or actually, I'm the one after you. So we're waiting for more people. I hope you're having a good day. We're still waiting for some more people to arrive. I have a rule that I don't want to do a class with only one person. So we wait till at least another person arrives. And we wait the 10 minutes, and if 10 minutes passes and there's only one person, then we cancel the class. But perhaps you have some questions you'd like to ask.
I noticed that it's Malka.
How are you?
Good. I've noticed that the sun, last couple of days, early in the week, that the sun was shining bright. And then we also could see half the moon as well.
And is there a question behind that, or is it just something you've noticed?
Just wondering if that means anything, or.
Well, it's the 22nd yesterday, or last night, so it's 22nd today. And that means that the moon should be about three quarters. But if you've only seen it as being half, it's an indication that it's a disconnect somewhere.
Okay.
Basically, what you've noticed is that with less human activity, there's less smog, there's less dirt in the air, and things are more clear.
I know, and I'm late. I'm sorry.
Well, we've been waiting, and it's okay, because
I've lost track of time.
That's all right. This is a Sunday afternoon, a nice calming time. Then we all tend to have some naps from time to time.
Well, I wasn't napping. Oh, goodness. My body clock just doesn't match up with the summertime.
I know that well. Malka, is it clear, or do we need to discuss it more?
No, that was clear. Thank you.
The class right now is an advanced reincarnation. And you'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11. The second column from the left. And that's a landing page for all of the advanced reincarnation classes. Scroll down to class 34. There's only one link for the handouts there. Click on that link, and we will begin with the first section, which is chapter 34, section 1. It's about Moshe, our teacher, or Moshe Rabbeinu is the Hebrew phrase for our teacher. Excuse me. We'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kud Shabrit Hu Ishkin Te Bid Hilu Urchimu, Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu. L'yachta L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe, V'yehud Ashalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino Amadunai Elohino Elena Maaseya Denu Kunode Elena Maaseya Denu Kunodehu. Abel is drawn from the right shoulder of Adam, which is the level of the Kitra, the Chesed, the crown of Chesed, which remained in Zerantin. So we find that he is from, or is in the secret of Dat, which, as we have explained before, resolves between Chachma and Bina. Therefore, Dat itself has to incorporate the three levels of Chachma, Bina, and Dat. My commentary. In most other central column essences, there is both right and left energies. And the central column resolves between these two energies. So why does Dot require to have a third energy, which is difficult to comprehend? It is because Dot is a reflection of the Keter. The reflection of the Keter energy, which has three levels. It has a right level, a left level, and a central level. But all three of those are in potential, because the Keter is essentially unified. Otherwise, if they didn't have the three potential energies, there would be no such thing as a central column energy. It must be included in the Keter in the frame of potential. At first, Moses was Abel, who was the son of Adam. Later, he reincarnated into Seth, then into Noah, and after that, into Shem, Noah's son. This is the secret of, you have said, I shall know you by Shem, literally meaning a name, an allusion to the reincarnations into Shem. And you found favor, Chet Nun, in my eyes, hints at the reincarnation into Noah, the father, since Noah also contains the letters Chet Nun. In the secret of Noah found favor. My commentary. Well, before I read the written commentary, let's discuss. According to this lineage, reincarnation lineage, Adam became Abel, who became Seth, then to Noah, and then to Shem. That's five people. Except we're told in the Torah that it's something about three or four lifetimes in the Esther Debrot. So why do we have five? And the understanding is that Adam, Abel or Hevel, and Cain are considered the three sources. All soul roots start with Cain and Abel or Adam. Those are the three. And since we consider them as one, then the fact that there's five lineages, but when we put Adam and Abel together, it becomes four. My written commentary. Another meaning of Chet and Nun is an acronym for Chachma Nestar, for hidden wisdom. Using the Atbash system of letter substitution, the Chet becomes a Samach, and the Nun becomes a Kaf. The meaning of Samach Kaf is your support. This alludes to the understanding that concealed wisdom is a protection shield, and especially one who struggles to understand and reveal this wisdom. Using that same method of Atbash, the word name, Shin Mem, becomes Bet Yud, which hints that the purpose of the names is to deal with the 12 tribes of Israel. I mentioned elsewhere that these Gilgulim are in the secret of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And therefore, you need not be surprised about how Noah and Shem could live at the same time if they are from the same level. My commentary. Please note this teaching. It is a question many people ask as they see many similarities between children and parents in both character traits and personality traits, as well as physical traits. Sometimes they are sharing soul parts at the same moment. Since they can take different soul sections from one person who had them all together. Shem, Noah, and Moses are all from the same root, the level of Chesed. Thus, Mem Shin, the first letters of Mem Shin He, Moshe's name, alludes to Shin Mem, to Shem. And so we learn that Shem, Noah, and Moses are all from the same root, the level of Chesed, which is that of Abel, the son of Adam. This is a secret of what it says regarding Moses. or from the water he was drawn, that is, from the waters of Chesed. Water spreads out wherever it is put. It gives life. It is formless, colorless, tasteless, soundless by nature. These are all Chesed-oriented qualities. My commentary. The Kabbalah teaches that water is the highest physical manifestation of Chesed in the physical world. It is also why we go from the creation of light to separating the waters in the first few verses of Genesis, since they both relate to the same essences of sharing. The world is built from Chesed. Even though it originally arose in thought to create the world with din, judgment, this was only intended as a means of eventually bringing about the greatest Chesed. And the greatest Chesed is to give goodness, share goodness with the creation. After they ate from the tree, the original Chesed, the directive of creation became hidden. The giving of the Torah restored the revelation of this directive. Even though the world was at first sustained from free Chesed, which is a higher level than general Chesed, this itself was only because the world was not ready to have direct relation to its maker. Hashem put it on a freebie in order to allow it to develop and reach a state of direct relation to him. After this, there is much less freebie, but the connection is real, specifically because it is earned. Moses brought the Torah to the world. He was chosen for this because of his root in Chesed. Water is formless, whereas Moses gives purpose, structure, and form to the world. Pharaoh decreed that all males should be thrown into the Nile. This was because his astrologers saw that the people's savior would be smitten by water. The Maharal explains that there is an opposite dynamic between Moses and water. Water is formless, whereas Moses gives purpose, structure, and form to the world. This does not contradict the above. The greatness of Moses is that he takes the raw, spreading, giving, sharing, chesed energy and draws it into the vessels of actualization. He transferred the Torah from its free, water-like form in the worlds above into a concrete, down-to-earth doctrine. He did this through triumphing over the angels, who claimed that the Torah would be better left in heaven by them. Is there any theft among you, for which it says, "Thou shalt not steal"? He pointed out that the purpose of the Torah is not to hover over creation, rather to deal with an imperfect world and perfect it. This explains the concept brought presently about the Torah being given from the aspect of fiery Geburah. Moses ended up suffering from the water element when he brought forth water from the rock by hitting it in place of speaking to it. This was only because the people had not done their job of concretizing the Torah by fulfilling it. This was only the nebulous nature. This was only because that being the nebulous nature of water, unrealized potential, then becomes antagonistic to Moses, and he suffers from it. When Moses received the Torah from Sinai, all three levels were incorporated and ascended in the secret Da'at of Machriah, resolving knowledge, from which comes the levels of the written Torah. This is the secret of from his right hand, a fiery doctrine. Torah was presented to them. For the Torah is given from the side of Givurot, which is the side of Gibura of Dat, as was mentioned. Torah is Moreh Derech, shows the way, teaches the path. It is given to give a way for each person to connect to Hashem. It must then include all diverse paths and present means for each individual to decide between them and to know for himself what to do. Dat includes the extremities of Chachma, the right column, Bina, the left column. It incorporates them into itself and decides between them. Accordingly, the Torah was given from Dat. It was given on Sinai, which equals the Sulam, the ladder, since Sinai and Sulam have the same gematria of 130. A means to ascend, which is a ladder, and connect above. As said, the soul of Moses is sourced in Dat. This facilitates him to be the one to bring Torah to the world. Although the Arizal just told us that Moses is from Chesed, the soul can come from varied roots, especially the general all-inclusive soul of Moses, that all draw from must be a fusion of many dynamics. And I am adding, a person can actually have 613 different roots. Although this is not a usual situation, it can happen and will require a significant help from the higher soul levels of his soul. I already explained that until the vision of the bush, Moses had yet to rectify the letters of Abel and Seth, except for the Shesh of Seth and the Hay of Hevel, Abel, hinted to in the name Moshe. The three letters of Hevel and Abel had yet to be rectified. As mentioned, the soul is included in the name. Each letter is a different aspect of the soul. Each one receives attention and rectification at different stages. Do whatever is in your power at any given chapter of life. There are special things, letters to repair and enjoy. If only today you would head his voice or hear his voice. Wherever an individual may find himself, he is advised to take advantage of those special things and to do his best to fix them. They can provide a unique connection to Hashem that no other letters or things can. Yeah. Moses equals the entire children of Israel. This is the reason that Gershom and Manasseh, and Shmuel Vital says, I don't know why Manasseh is mentioned here, since no sons other than Gershom and Eliezer were born to Moses before the vision of the bush, and were not that righteous. There is also another reason, and that is the entire Jewish people were like his children, and sparks from his soul. This is the secret of what the sages say. Moses equals the entire children of Israel. Thus he was like Adam, who incorporated all the souls. Hence one should not be perplexed. If Gershom and Manasseh were not so righteous, since the entire Jewish people were already his children, it is impossible that out of all the people, some of them would not be outstanding. My commentary. The Arizal teaches that the consciousness of the children come from the union of the parents at the time of conception. In my opinion, the relationship of Moshe and Sephora were not actually soulmates, since Sephora was the soulmate of Cain in that first lifetime. Zipporah was the twin sister of Abel, as a test for both Moshe and Cain. Now when Cain, who is Yitro, gave Zipporah away, her consciousness would not be in full unity with Moshe, since at the soul level, she knew who her soulmate is. Her correction for this lack of unity was the incident with the snake and the circumcision of Gershom. This is my opinion. Personally, I have always struggled with understanding that story within the parasha of Exodus, the Peshat level, until this occurred to me when reading the above. There are 70 faces to the Torah. On the level of each face, things are said in a way that is pertinent to that level. The above applies to the simple perspective. A rung deeper, the children of Moses were actually much higher than the rest of the people, and the sons of Moshe increased above the 600,000. They were so lofty as not to be considered from the rest. They seemed to be lower because they were so outstanding than they were, so that they were aloof. This itself is the ideal behind the simple explanation that they weren't so righteous. My commentary. On a truly higher level, they would be conscious of the discomfort of other people and conceal their soul loftiness. If one is conscious of the other people around them, they will control these normal ego-related reactions of feeling superior. Returning to the matter, the bush rectified the letters of Hevel as well. Thus it says the angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire, to hint that in the beginning the letters Lamed Vav Taf were not yet rectified. As mentioned, Hay was already fixed. Therefore, it says, in the flame of fire, from the side of judgment, since they were not yet rectified. In a flame of fire from the side of judgment, since they were not yet rectified. God first revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai by the burning bush. Moses was then commanded to redeem the people. The Arizal tells this scene, the bush. Why is it so referred to? Behold, the bush burns, but it is not consumed. Despite the flames of persecution and exile throughout the generations, the people are never destroyed. At first, Moses did not want to redeem them because he knew that they would end up in exile again. God preempted his concern by attracting his attention through the burning bush, guaranteeing their survival and eventual final redemption. This is the sweetening of all judgments. And so the din letters of Abel were fixed. However, at the bush, they became rectified, and this is indicated by the repetition of Moses' name. As it says there, Moses, Moses. The first refers to before the bush when he wasn't rectified. The second, to his newly rectified state. Nevertheless, even in the beginning, the blemish wasn't that bad, as it says in the Idra. The Zohar points out that by other Tzaddikim, who God doubled in calling their name, an interrupting line is written in the text between the names, except by Moses. This comes to demonstrate his unique greatness. There is no interruption between the Moses above and the Moses below. This is part of what is behind this teaching, that the beginning blemish was not that bad. like commentary. It also helps to explain the Midrash that indicates Moshe was born with light, that his mother Jochebed and his sister Miriam were able to see. Also the Midrash that Moshe was born circumcised. He was almost complete in his tikkun when born, and also almost complete in his tikkun when he is concealed from the nation on the 7th of Adar, which is his Hilulah. This is my opinion. And that is the end of section one. Does anyone have any questions? Section two is about Hillel and Shammai. If you're not sure who these people are, during the Mishnah, the development of part of the Talmud, the early part of the Talmud, there are two sages. One is named Hillel and one is named Shammai. Hillel comes from the right column of the Tree of Life, and Shammai comes from the left column. And they are constantly in conflict. They're referred to in the Talmud as the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai. Because it wasn't just one of them, it was also their students. And their perspectives were one of chesed and one of judgment. And so that's what is going to be explained as we discuss section two.
Hanok.
Yes.
Before we
go ahead.
Section, it gave Idra, but it didn't say if it was Idra Zuta or Idra Rabba. It mentions Idra twice as a resource or the source. Do we know which one of the Idras it's talking?
One specifies the parasha of Naso. And the Idra Zuta is in parasha Naso. And the Idra Rabba, it's the other way around. The Idra Rabba is in Naso. And the Idra Zuta, the smaller one, is in the parasha of Hazinu.
Okay. So it's Rabba. Okay. That's the one I don't understand the most.
Well, okay. You're not the only one. But that's part of the goal of spiritual growth, learning to understand the two Idras. I'm actually not going to go forward with Hillel and Shammai because I think there's a lot of material in section one having to do with Moshe that really needs to be contemplated. And I also wanted to discuss the email that you sent me. I don't know if you saw my response, but
no,
for those of you who haven't listened, I had asked for comments as to what to teach this Sunday afternoon when we complete the second series of classes on advanced reincarnation, which will be done in a few weeks. It's not, not three or four, but, relatively speaking, it will be done fairly quickly. So Hannah was saying she'd like to learn mind over matter. And what I want to discuss is I've given some initial classes. They're really basic classes of what is mind over matter. And we can duplicate those and have those again. But the real in-depth of how do you produce mind over matter and the different levels of mind is matter, mind over matter, and mind separate from matter, which is where most of us live. all of that material is really being covered in the Sefer Yetzirah. And through the practices of the meditations and the teachings of the tools that are concealed in the Sefer Yetzirah, this is how you develop and strengthen your ability to manifest your thoughts, essentially the concept of mind over matter. So it's not a subject that I can really do on a extensive levels of classes, because it's being done in the Sefer Yetzirah. But it really becomes someone who wants to take that material into their life and utilize it and practice the different meditations.
I had Rabbi Berg's book, and I never have been able to read it. And I thought perhaps you would use the book. That was the reason I suggested that one.
Well, I could use the book. I don't know if that book is just in printed form, or if they've produced it in a Kindle form that I could copy and paste the material. But that book is really the sources of my initial classes that are already on the line there. I mean, there are some other items, other chapters that could be added, and I'll take a look at that.
Mm-hmm. I'll get around to reading it one day. It's like everything else is on the bucket list.
The strength of my abilities. I don't have the background in direct material in reading the Hebrew or the Aramaic directly that I would need to truly explain. But I have experience, and that I can share. But the best approach I have found is what you see me do, which is to copy and paste other people's writings, but then explain it in ways that I hope are more familiar for you and much easier for you to understand than trying to read them directly.
Well, I do remember in the 15 lessons that I took in the Sefer Yetzirah, when we got to that, and the story that's told how a couple of the sages produced a calf to eat every Shabbat. And at that time, my thought was, I don't really have that need, but the day may come when we do have the need. And so the interest, I guess that's the word for it, just wasn't there.
It's a very interest.
Right. And I do remember... so we'll be getting it in the Sefer Yetzirah. So that's
correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the book.
The major component of that is strengthening your certainty that you're able to do it. And that takes practice. It's just like any other muscle. You have to practice to strengthen it.
Right.
And that's literally the whole issue with the academic teachers of the Kabbalah, because they're not practicing. They're giving you an intellectual approach. But there's a big difference between what you experience by practicing the tools that are explained, and see what happens. Are there any other questions at the moment? it still leaves the subject of what to cover for the this hour of classes when the time comes. So kind of look
okay.
around, see
I didn't
what else
think
you.
We were up to 34, though. I thought we were going to be in 33, section 2B today.
Well, I didn't think
I missed it. I'll check that.
Yeah, you did miss a class. I think it wasn't last week because we didn't have one, but I think it was the week before.
Okay. Jasmine I missed, but I didn't remember any others. Okay, but I'll check that.
Okay.
My days run into each other. I think this for me, I think I've... I'm never really sure what day it is. Each day falls into the other.
It always does.
Well, it's
the only time the next day happens, the only time the next day doesn't follow the previous day is when you decide to leave the world. And since that's not an option for any of my students, because you all have to stick around to prove me right that I'm going to live 300 years, at least.
I agree.
And I hope everybody's laughing. Because if you're not laughing, then you're taking me seriously, and that's really the goal.
Agreed. Agreed.
You all have a beautiful afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.